views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hit show Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you struggling with loss? Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Beyond Proof Radio is a space that explores beyond current self-limiting beliefs surrounding loss, offering radical healing, which will come from the least likely of places. Join Angie on her journey, which includes science, medicine, and spirituality, proving that the body is merely a shell of our soul. It's possible to create an amazing life from the depths of pain. It's your life. It's your choice. Now, here's your host.
Proof Radio with me, your host, Angie Corbett-Kuiper. And today I am so honored and so happy to have Stephen Sakellarias on our program. This is a part one of two series, and this is called In Another Life, Proving Reincarnation. And Stephen has studied Eastern mysticism since 1973. He has a master's degree in counseling and human systems. In 1997, he began work on a documentary entitled In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. It was a 5-year project, and it was broadcast on PBS. It was accepted for distribution to universities by Films Media Group. He's got an amazing website, which we'll have him share when he comes on in a minute here. And it actually continues to provide very, very acute, accurate information of reincarnation. And so with that, Stephen, welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, and I want to start, and you didn't know I was going to do this.
Uh-oh.
surprise. You guys, I want to start this because this is all about authenticity. And Stephen, I was very touched by the email that you sent to me this morning. And I want to read this because I feel the exact same way you do. And I think anything that isn't construed as quote unquote society or societal beliefs, there is an element of risk, an inherent risk. And so here's what Stephen wrote to me this morning. I appreciate being respected generally. I'm slightly patronized, even when it isn't intentional. Once I was actually ridiculed and had to stand up for myself. Well, not myself, actually, but my guru, who you guys will meet next week or in a couple weeks. I am not accustomed to being taken seriously. So it's a refreshing change. And with that, Stephen, I want to thank you for that email because I think you speak for so many of us who are just trying to share our experiences. And we do. We get laughed at. We get put down. And what's interesting, you guys, I'm going to say it right here. The people that I have talked to, and Stephen, I don't know if you'll agree with me here too. The people who will write to me, who email me, who message me, who's society? Because you are all having these same wonderments and these same things going on, but worried what society's going to think. So, Stephen, with that, welcome.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that when I first started work on this with reincarnation. It's like everybody's having these experiences, and everybody thinks that nobody else is, and everybody's afraid to say anything. You know? But it's a vast number of people who are, you know, their children have said something about a past life, or they've had a deja vu experience, or they've met somebody that they've said, I feel like I've known you forever, you know, and everybody's had these experiences. So it's very interesting. for something that's not supposed to exist, you know.
Exactly right. And that's what I'm so excited. And thank you for reaching out to me too. I did a lot of, you know, looking on your website. And you guys, if you, Stephen, tell them what your website is. What, how do they find you first?
Okay, it's a little strange because it started out as my video production business, Gold Thread Video. So it was goldthread.com. But then when I started this project, there was a subdomain set up. So it's www.ial, which stands for In Another Life, then .goldthread.com. So ial.goldthread.com.
And if you all want to email after the, you know, when you feel like it, email Stephen as well. And Stephen, give us your email address as well.
Sure. It's sake@goldthread.com.
And you guys, you are going to love it. It is filled with news and updates. It's got all of his books, videos, blogs, articles, cases. You have done so much research. I think 46 years, right?
Well,
something
well,
like that.
The website's been on there since 1998, so 20-something years. I actually trimmed it down a little bit. It needed a haircut, and then I trimmed it down a little bit because it had so much information about so many different people. I kind of focused it down on my own work a little bit not too long ago, but there's still a heck of a lot there.
Yes, I'm amazed by how much research that you've done. And I'm going to start by asking, we don't usually come into these, if you will, paranormal, you know, experiences unless something tragic or trauma has happened in our life. And Stephen, what led you to be interested or delve into reincarnation?
Well, there's two aspects to this, and the first is what got me into my mystical search, which is a little more interesting. What got me into reincarnation specifically was that I just started my video production company. I knew that I needed to keep my hand in creatively, so I wanted to have a creative project so I wouldn't just become all commercial, you know. And I woke up one morning and I knew it was going to be about reincarnation. So that's not a very exciting story. And I don't know what transpired overnight, you know, who I talked to or what, but I woke up and it was just in my mind, oh, it's going to be about reincarnation. The story about how I got into mysticism, I was raised as an atheist. And at the same time, I always felt like there was something that I was looking for, something I was trying to remember desperately. When I was a little kid, I was trying not to forget something. Then I forgot it. We're talking age 3. And then I was trying to remember what was it that I'd forgotten, you know, and it was a search. And I used to look up at the Pleiades, the seven sisters, and I called it my question mark when I was a little kid. I didn't know what it was, but I called it my question mark, and it symbolized what it was that I was trying to understand, you know. But then as I got older, I got into this, you know, idea of materialism, and that was my worldview until I hit my teens. And about age 15, I had been trying to develop my own philosophy, my own unified field theory of psychology and, you know, and the world. And I got to a point of being just completely tied up in knots with it. You know, when you're just going on your intellect and you're trying to figure everything out intellectually, you get to a point where you're just, you know, you know, you're stymied, you know, in other words. But it was a major crisis for me. And at some point, I threw it all out and I started over. And that really began my spiritual search. I started reading the scriptures of the world religions with the idea that in the esoteric end of all of these religions, they're all talking about the same experience and the same reality. That was my premise. And I went on from there. So when I read the Bhagavad Gita, not too long after I was in high school, and I read about reincarnation in the Bhagavad Gita, I just took to it immediately. It made perfect sense to me. I don't recall any hesitation at all with it.
Oh, I love that. And my listeners, back in 1980-81, Stephen wrote a book, Eastern Mysticism and Psychotherapy, A Guide to Therapy from the Mystical Perspective. And Stephen, I really like that the premise and the understanding is the hidden principles of what you write here, is the hidden principles of spiritual growth and karma, which are always at work in a person's life and facilitating them, one can provide far more effective, lasting, and spiritually beneficial assistance. I love that.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was in college and studying counseling, and I was trying to take what I had learned in my spiritual search and from my spiritual teacher and bring it together and marry it somehow to what I was learning in my, you know, counseling and psychology classes. So that's really what that was, an attempt to put those two things together.
And the reason I'm doing this show, the reason that Stephen is, his mission is sharing reincarnation, the benefits of reincarnation, the advantages of reincarnation, is to keep an open mind, you guys, to anything and everything that presents, because it can become the most amazing healing. And you're not alone. Don't you feel that way, Stephen? You're not alone.
Yeah.
Even though you're alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so let's start with defining reincarnation. Now, when I looked just a Google search, Google definition, it comes up as the rebirth of a soul in a new body. What is your definition of reincarnation, Stephen?
Well, that's a good definition for the reason that it starts out with it as a thing as opposed to as a belief. Most time you look up reincarnation, say the belief in such and such and such. It's defined as a belief, which is already off the mark. You know,
yes.
it already says, well, it's not real, but this is what people believe. That's the implicit assumption, and you got to watch out for those implicit assumptions. Reincarnation, it's part of the life cycle, and in order to understand the life cycle, you have to understand what mankind is, what a person is, and for that you have to understand that a person, first of all, is a spiritual being having a physical experience. You won't be able to understand it if you don't deal with that first.
Yep, you know? Meister Eckhart, everyone, that is his quote, and I love it. It's we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and how many of us are acting as if we are human beings living an aha, once in a while, spiritual moment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're dampened down here. You know, this is a proving ground. Swami Vivekananda said that this is life is a moral gymnasium, was the way he put it. You know, it's a school.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
Yeah, moral gymnasium. You know, building character. In other words, that's what we're here for. And then we remember in between lives, we remember who we are. You know, but down here, it's dampened down. We have to struggle to remember who we are. But reincarnation is taking on a physical body, which Yogi Baba Hari Das, who I met at a retreat once, I overheard him say, "The soul enters the body at 21 weeks." So.
Wow.
He should know. He was in a position to seek things like that directly. So I take that as something real. So it means that if you take a person, say, as their subtle body, their energy body, we're not going to deal with the higher realms now, but let's just say you're your energy body, which never dies. You enter the physical body, get born, you know, grow up, get kind of your sea legs here, get used to it. And then, you know, at some point you drop the body and leave and go back to your home, basically, which is, you know, the subtle or astral realm, the energy realm. And that's all it is. It's not really that complicated. The problem is this enthralldom with identifying with the physical body such that you forget who you really are.
So do you believe that once we die and we're in the astral, you know, in the astral planes, different dimensions, different school, do you believe we keep coming back over and over again?
That's my understanding, yeah, a great many times. My guru said 8.4 million human reincarnations.
Oh my gosh. Well, and there is a book, and you guys, you know what? I think we are heading on break right now. Thank you so much. My new producer, Nate, I'm so excited. He's so wonderful. We are going to go on break, and when we come back, we'll resume our conversation with the beautiful Stephen. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Right now, ask yourself, how far are you from your dream? Are you closer today than yesterday? Entrepreneur and personal coach Deborah Rothschild brings the wit and wisdom to transform you into a new dynamic you. Tune in to the Deborah Rothschild Show, Developing a Dynamic You. To learn more about Deborah, visit thedeborahshow.com. That's the D-E-B-R-A show.com.
Tune in live every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Your eternal purpose is calling out to you each and every day. Are you listening? Tune in to Dynamic Destiny Radio with Coach Pete Cafarcio every first and third Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be your authentic self and live the life that you were destined for. Learn practical tools to discover your purpose and conquer other fears that keep you stuck in a life of mediocrity. Learn more about Coach Pete by visiting PeteCoaching.com.
Life.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. We are with Stephen and talking about reincarnation. And before the last break, Stephen, you were talking about the life cycle. And I love the moral gymnasium that you talked about, taking on a physical body, that the soul enters a human body. And we were talking about being reincarnated. How many times did you say?
8.4 million is according to the tradition that I'm from, yeah. And wow. That's human, but then there's animal reincarnations before that and so on. So it's a very large number.
Okay, so I'm going to go off a tangent here because I think some of the myths, and you and I are, you know, wanted to start discussing some, dispelling some of the myths and urban legends. I think one of the myths, Stevens, that maybe you can clear up is we're all in our own classes, correct? I mean, people who say I'm going to reincarnate or come back as a butterfly or as a dog, what is your thought on that?
Well,
or the research that you've done?
Yeah, according to the reading that I've done, people don't, with possibly some rare exceptions, you know, that I am not aware of, but you have to leave a little room for exceptions, but people don't reincarnate backwards into animal forms, is my understanding.
Right. But they can reincarnate, right? Isn't there a dog movie? It's like Heaven is for Dogs or something like that about the reincarnation of the dog that comes back in another body and has some of the same characteristics. I got to figure that one out.
I'm not familiar with the movie, but yeah, animals reincarnate too, sure. And so do plants, everything. Because it's all moving upwards up the evolutionary scale. All these souls are gradually moving upwards to the point where they reincarnate as human beings. And then the struggle is for the human being to realize his true self, which is part of God, and
right.
You know, one with God. So, right. I mean, the whole thing is God waking up. You know,
yeah.
So when he first starts to wake up, he's just like a stone or something. And then he wakes up a little more and he's a plant and so forth and so on until he becomes a human being. But then what happens is he has the mental impressions as an overlay on his consciousness that restrict his consciousness, mental impressions from all these incarnations. So then he just keeps on expressing and revivifying and reliving these impressions and kind of working with them until eventually he says, enough is enough. And he wants to get free of that. So then there's this process of being a spiritual aspirant and trying to purify the heart and trying to purify the mind and thin out all these impressions till you can you can realize who you really are. That's my understanding of the whole long process.
Interesting. And that's where I really enjoy going, is not being so, you know, either you're faith-based or spiritual-based, and or you are science-based. And to me, they meld together so beautifully without judging either one of them.
Yeah, Swami Vivekananda predicted that as well, that science and spirituality would come together.
And I do find it's interesting. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I have to make a crack, though. This is kind of funny, that you were self-proclaimed material scientist. Dr. Eben Alexander, who has been on my program, also material scientist, have woken up. And it's so amazing to hear you guys say God.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought. I actually had a transformation experience. When I was an atheist, and then I started to loosen up a little bit. And where I started was, let's see if the universe is conscious. Let's see if I start paying attention, will I see it responding to me? Will I see it communicating with me? That was where I started. And synchronicity started to happen. The universe started talking to me, as it seemed, you know. Then I got into Zen meditation. But all of a sudden, once when I was sitting on my little meditation stool, all of a sudden I turned to God inwardly. Never done this before in my life. And I told him what a mess I was, what I felt, you know, about myself, that I just had come to this impasse and I was a complete mess and it was awful. And I felt his presence fill me immediately. Instant was all it took, was for me to turn to him, and I sincerely. So you have to do it from the depths of your heart. You can't just say, well, I'll try talking to God and see what happens, but I don't believe it. You know, it's not that. It's when you're desperate and you turn to him with your whole heart, he'll respond. It's just waiting for that. So that was the main transformation there.
Yes. And it's what Wayne Dyer says too, and it goes into the law of attraction. I don't know many people who experience joy here on earth who consistently see the pain and the evil and the ugliness, and yet they're angry because they're not seeing a heaven when all they're focused on is poor me, miserable, sad, unhappy, grief-stricken, grief-ridden, and expect miracles to happen.
Well, it's being embroiled in those impressions from past lives. That's what the problem is.
So Stephen, let's get back to that. Okay, the impressions of the past lives. So you had written somewhere too, or I think I heard it on your video, and that was that the past lives, that we can't get rid of that emotional state. It follows us. Is there, how do we break free from that though? Because you get into past life regression and you can say, okay, I can pinpoint that. Can you ever release yourself from a reincarnation from, you know, 300, 400 years ago? If that follows you, how do you break that cycle?
Well, that's a whole science. And to some extent, it can be done in past life therapy, can be done with meditation, can be done with intentions, you know, to some extent. If you really want to do it right, I believe that you need a God-realized guru, you know, if you really want to get to the end of the process. But with past life therapy, for example, if you relive something in a past life that's either traumatic or that was confusing, or say that something that you'd misunderstood at the time, you know, and you relive it and it's correct perspective, and now you understand what was going on, and you release the emotions that was connected with it, and you get to the end of that, and you know, the therapist helps you to say, well, that was not now, that was then, you know, this is now. And if you can get to that point, you can release a lot, and there have been physical healings that have gone along with this in past life therapy. You know, people that had like a tumor, for example, suddenly, you know, they relive the thing that the tumor came from, and they're released from it, you know. So it's very powerful. The phobias can be just released just like that after, you know, a few sessions, and very powerful.
So you do have to kind of go backwards in order to move forward a little bit.
Well, I believe that that subjectively and especially emotionally, we're always living our past lives. I mean, we're living them right now, and we're reacting to people, places, and things with our past life emotions.
Yes.
You know, this is why things are so confusing, you know, because, for example, the person that says, everybody's out to get me. Well, it's not rational, you know, except if you went into their past lives, they probably had a lifetime where, say, they were a street urchin and everybody was actually out to get them.
They're reliving
that, and you can't let go of it. And really, until you go back and see that in its true perspective and understand.
Right. Yeah. I'm just amazed. And you know what? Are you noticing now with the work that you're doing that it is becoming more acceptable? Like almost evolution of time, if you will. Back in the 70s, when you first started, you said, I think at 19 years old, you started delving into the researching this. And we'll go into more of that on the next show. But have you noticed more welcoming arms?
Well, it's certainly, yeah, of course, when I was first studying these things, I was in the hippie era. So among my fellow hippies, it was acceptable. You know, anything was acceptable, you know.
Well, that's because
that
you guys were all, you know, you guys were all on drugs, the hallucinogens.
Well, not all. Yes. Yeah, not all, you know. Yeah.
But you know what, though? That's what's sad is that when we awaken to these amazing, an amazing way to live our lives here on, while we still are here on this earth, it's almost as if we're labeled weird out there. Off the rocker, lost the marbles, must be on drugs. Oh my God, give her a hall pass. She's, you know, experienced two suicides. How do you overcome that?
Well, of course, you can find your own society. You know, there's that. But there's also just keeping a very low profile because, I mean, I think that my ability to have a career, or have a business that's successful, I think it's hurt me, especially with the internet because I'm easily looked up. So I think it when you come out, you know, like that, I think it does impact your career and your social life. Yeah. Even now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I so agree with you. And so, Stephen, we've got about 3 minutes before we go on to our next break. Can you share with people how do they find you and what kind of people are you looking for?
Well, if I've taken my walks, I'm healthy, they'll find me quite well. No, I'm just kidding. Well, yeah, just go to the website and you'll find my email address there and feel free to contact me, you know, ial.goldthread.com. And there's books there, of course, and
yes.
And some free videos and various things. My documentary is there for free if they want to watch that. So, yeah.
Yes, and he's written, and Stephen, you've written several books, and the one that I kind of want to get into in this next section is the reincarnation can be proven, and I'd like you to discuss, maybe start a little bit. We've got a couple minutes. How can, because there are a lot of people out there saying, I don't believe that. You can't prove that. Is it always going to remain that way, do you think? Or
no, I don't. I think that there will come a time when you'll go to a party and 10 of the people there will all be talking together, sharing the past life that they've proven. I think it's coming. I think it's coming to that. And we talk about, you know, robots and artificial intelligence, and that's supposed to, you know, and like hooking yourself, putting machines in your body and all that. I don't think that's the future. I think the future is going to be when people wake up and realize that they're really a spiritual being, and they'll all, like I said, they'll all start sharing the past life that they've proven and show the proof. Yeah, it's coming.
Yes. And so, and it's interesting because, I know my listener Ruth, who is out there on the East Coast as we speak, we sometimes ask, a lot of times, how could we have possibly wanted sometimes the life that we're in? So when we come back, will you share your belief, non-belief, if you will, that we ask to come into these physical bodies?
That's a very good topic. Yeah.
Because I'm like, what the hell were we thinking, Ruth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, and so you guys, thank you so much for joining Stephen and myself. You're so appreciated. And we will be back in a couple minutes after these messages. Thanks, guys.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Join us, Tina and Laura, on The Ghost Helper Show, where the paranormal is more normal than you think. We break down the doors of the scary and the airy-fairy in a logical, scientific approach. As psychics who once led ordinary lives until paranormal events reshaped our world, join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and Facebook Live. We prove that the paranormal is more normal than most people think.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, to the third segment in our two-part series, part one, with Stephen. Thank you, Stephen, for joining me today. I'm having a great time.
Yep, me too.
And before break, we were talking about us human beings here choosing who our parents are, who our circles, friendships. Of course, we know what they are when we're living and breathing humanly. But do you believe that we ask to come into existence through the parents that we've chosen?
I do. And it's a complex thing. There's a lot of things that go into it. And first is what you said, that there's connections. You know, we like to come in with, at least, you know, there might be just one person in a family that we're closely connected with, or it might be somebody, it might even be the neighbor next door, you know, but very often, you know, people come in, I think, with their soul groups, and the family is, you know, at least partly their soul group. So you come in for that reason. You come in to resolve karma. If there's, you know, something left unfinished, something you need to get right, you know, that you didn't quite get right before, we arrange to come in to get that right. And I think sometimes people volunteer for things. I had this kind of a vision or an image, you know, that, I mean, in the image, when I was thinking of it, you know, the Christ is there and the people are sitting around and of course they're deeply inspired. And he says, I need somebody to go down and be an inspiration to people by being disabled and overcoming it. You know, everybody's raising their hand, me, no, pick me, you know, yeah. And then you get down here and it's like, then you forget who you are and you forget why you're here. And it's like, you know, how can you imagine that I would have picked this? You've forgotten it, see? So I think there's that element to it too. There's a lot that goes into, I'm not sure everybody has 100% choice, but I think as you evolve a little more spiritually, it's kind of like being in college. Seniors can pick electives, you know? I think it's kind of like that.
I feel that same way. And going back into, you know, coming back to the earth, you know, coming back and saying, I want to come back. It's very interesting. I believe, and this is my opinion, if we can believe in a reincarnation and that we come back and to learn, maybe to have fun, of course, in the human body. That's why I believe we're here, partly. But to grow spiritually, like, you know, I made fun of the person who was a paraplegic. So that paraplegic, then, we feel when we die, we feel what that paraplegic feels like. There's no, there's, to me, and books that I've read, and this sits very well with me because it makes me want to live a better life.
Mm. That's what I understand about the life review also.
You
feel what the other person was feeling.
Yeah. Right. And I don't want to feel that way. Because how did it feel when you talked about her behind her back? How did it feel when you made fun of her? Yeah. And so I believe that it takes the onus off of blaming a god when a child is born with a defect, if you want to call it that. It probably is not even a defect. It's learning, it's growth, it's what they've asked to come back to do.
And people will say, you know, finally, you know, that it was such a spiritual benefit to me, you know, this thing that I went through, that I became so much greater of a person and so much stronger of a person. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. You know, you really advance through the difficulties and not through the good times necessarily. Yeah.
No. And so even through, and I don't know if you know much about the work that I'm doing now, but I had 2 back-to-back suicides, Stephen. Mm-hmm. And yes, I had to go through that, the mourning and the grief and the sadness, but it's really difficult to grieve when you don't believe in death.
Oh, it's awful. So I can't even remember what it was like not to believe in continuing life. You know, I don't even, but I feel for people that don't. I try to help them, but they're so stubborn, you know.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
We only can be, you know, I tell people, and I cannot remember who said this quote, but I love it. And it is, lighthouses do not go and find boats.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. Yeah.
They stand and they shine bright.
I love that. Yeah.
I do too.
I probably needed to hear that.
Oh my goodness. I'll send you the quote when we get off the air here.
Yeah.
But before break, you guys, Stephen and I were talking about Dr. Ian Stevenson's reincarnation research. He started, he was born in 1918, just to give you an idea, and he unfortunately died, well, which way you look at it, in 2007, fortunately or unfortunately. But he was a psychiatrist who worked at the University of Virginia School of Medicine for 50 years. He was the chair of the Department of Psychiatry, and he traveled extensively over a period of 40 years investigating 3,000 cases of children around the world who he called having past lives. And have you done a lot of research not with Dr. Ian Stevenson, but how did he impact your life through all of this? Did you learn a lot from him?
That was one of the first sources I studied when I started my documentary in 1997. So it was a real education for me. I had no idea that there'd been scientific research done on this. And he was very rigorous with his work. I mean, his philosophy was, as in tennis, when the ball is out, you call it out. And when the ball is in, you call it in. So he was quite prepared to admit that, well, this doesn't prove reincarnation. But he tried to shoot down all of his own findings, you know, with
that's what I love about him. Yeah.
Yeah. With every skeptical or normal objection he could possibly think of, he tried to apply that first. And what he ended up with these cases that were so strong that, you know, that there really was no normal explanation for them.
And what I really like about his work is continuing on. If any of you feel like going, look up the University of Virginia's Division of Perceptual Studies. He has done such amazing work. He was the founder and director, and now there are others that have taken it a role. But it's all about reincarnation, near-death experience, out-of-body experiences, after-death communications, deathbed visions, altered states of consciousness, and PSI. And so, Stephen, can I, before, and I should have asked you when we first started, what did you do prior? What do you do? Like, besides this research, you have a job. Are you still practicing psychiatry?
No. I never got into the field at all. I actually was one of these baby boomers that suffered from the several careers, typesetting, and then that became unnecessary when computers came in, and then video production, and that kind of that didn't work for me either. I never could quite get my business on its feet, and I never really found my place, except that my hobby turned out to, I think, be my real work.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? And I share this a lot. Isn't it just amazing, though, when you do find that passion and that purpose, no matter how crazy, no matter how out there it may be, it just refreshes our soul. I think we have to think with our heads, obviously, but I think we have to live through our soul.
Well, it's not work. You know, when I look back at the books I've written and the research I've done, you know, I think, what a mountainous, if it was something I hadn't wanted to do, you know, it was just impossible mountain of work, but it never felt like work. It always was fun.
You know? Yes, I love that. I'm so glad we need people like you on this planet. And I tell, you know, I do believe that we're all spiritual beings and we're all helping one another home, no matter what level we are on, no matter what playing field we're on, we're all trying to do the best that we can and live joyously. And wow, coming into Earth, though, you do wonder, going back to, why do we pick these?
Well, here's the image I wanted to share earlier. I kind of had this image of you're in the astral plane. I say there's time there, but it's like, you know, things take time to do, but you don't have any sense of what time it is, you know. So somebody says, well, you know, I can't progress here anymore, because they do have schools and they learn and so on. But in order to progress, you really want to get somewhere spiritually, you have to incarnate, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you really have to marshal all your forces, see, which you really can't do in the astral realm. It's too nice, you know. So they say, well, I'm going to incarnate. And they pick one where they're going to really grow in that, see? And then they get down there, and it seems like this, you know, all the suffering and the struggles and everything goes on forever. And then they come back, and it's only been 5 minutes. And they say, well, how was it? You know, it's like diving into a pool and coming back up. But when you're in the water, it feels like it's, you know, 50, 100 years or whatever it is, you know? And then you come back, and there's hardly any time and less. But you're now flowering, you know.
Well, so Stephen, which brings me to a good point. Do you believe that everyone incarnates and recarnates once, obviously, but can they have would they have the choice to stay in those spiritual realms? Because you do hear from people who've had near-death experiences, they don't want to come back.
Yeah, I think you can stay for a very long time if you've earned the right to. You know, but a lot like, well, in a psychic reading, I was told you've been coming back immediately for a long time. You know, it was kind of like, I just no sooner get there than I come back, you know, was kind of the impression. But there's some people that, I mean, in the ancient days in India, as I understand it, people would do austerity specifically to be able to stay in a high astral realm for a very long time, like hundreds of years. You know? So you can do that. But I think at some point you get to where I want to progress spiritually more than I want to enjoy, you know, being up here. It's a break up there. It's like summer vacation, you know, but that's not really where the progress is made. Progress is made here. That's my understanding of it.
And I've asked a lot of my guests who've come on the show as well, and I'm going to ask you, and that is, do you believe that there can be awakening or understanding and growth without having trauma and pain and a significant, just a traumatic experience happen, a frying pan upside the head kind of moment.
After what they call turning, yeah. But when you become a spiritual aspirant and you have turned away from this, you know, what we think is reality here, and you've turned to the spiritual and you're on your way home, you know, then I think you don't have to suffer necessarily in order to progress. But up to that point, something's got to turn you around. What is it, James Taylor in his song, he says, what is it about the wind turning your head around? I can't remember the line
exactly.
Oh,
I know which one you're talking about.
You know what
about.
I mean? I know.
It's
a cold wind that turns your head around. That's what he's talking about, the turning. See, it's a crucial point in the long life of a soul to get to that turning point where they're say, I'm serious about it now. I want to go home. After that, I don't think you necessarily need so much of a wake-up call.
Right. And so that's really interesting. I love that. And for my listeners, there's another book that was really, and you know this one, Stephen, I'm sure, but Dr. Brian Weiss, who wrote Many Lives, Many Masters. And I believe that his patient, Catherine, they went as far back as 84 reincarnations. Were you familiar with that?
It's been a long time since I read it. I don't remember that part, but I have read it, yeah, many years ago.
Yeah, and so what was interesting about that was that, we're going to skip break if that's okay with you, Stephen. We're just going to go and head out on this last. I'm just having so much fun. Thanks, Nate, for letting us go here. But in this book, it was just as you had said, that she presents and she's got things that are bothering her. She's depressed. And her peers saw her kind of declining, going downhill a little bit. You should go see Dr. Weiss. You should see Dr. Weiss. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you said, as soon as she started coming forth from each of these past lives, each step was a new healing.
Mm, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, past life therapy is very powerful. I videotaped for my documentary a fellow named Roger Wilger. He's passed on now. He used the Netherton method, which is not hypnotic. I think it's Morris Netherton was the man that developed it. Instead of using hypnosis, they use association and gestalt techniques. So okay. They can kind of, by association, they can flip you back into your past life without you having to go under hypnosis. But I wanted to videotape him, and he says, well, he hadn't had very good experiences with filmmakers. He said, but I'll tell you what, if you'll take the week-long seminar, I'll let you, you know, interview me. So I jumped at the chance, you know. But very powerful stuff.
And would you consider that kind of along the same lines as like an EMDR or that eye movement desensitization reprocessing that Francine Shapiro was famed for? She was the pioneer of eye movement desensitization. Would you consider that a form of like a gestalt or a past life a little bit?
Well, I'm not familiar with it, so I really can't comment.
Yeah, okay.
On that. Yeah. I've heard of it, but I don't really know how it works or what the basis is or anything. So.
And now they're using it, and insurance is paying for in the medical communities that mm-hmm. it's using for these VA, you know, these VA veterans mm-hmm. who come back war and have the experience of hearing a muffler, like a muffler that is broken over that loud noise. And so anytime they hear a door slammer, it triggers them back to that event. And it was interesting because I found out so much about me and some of the trauma that I'd gone through, but I think it was still in this lifetime. So I don't know necessarily if it would be considered a reincarnation or, you know, something from a previous life or if it was something traumatic from this life.
I don't think anything that has juice in it, that we experience energy in it, and the experience in this life is isolated. I think it's, you know, it's always from a past life. It's all one life. So it's, you know, if there's anything that's got a lot of juice in it, it probably has a history, basically.
Interesting. Oh, I like that. I like that. And then what do you think, what do you think the significance, like with all of the work that you've done, and I cannot wait to introduce my listeners to your guru and to your own personal experience. How long has it been, 19 years with Matthew that you did? I'm looking very forward to.
Yeah, it's not my guru. That's my Matthew's my past life. And I learned about that in 2005. So whatever that is now, 15 years, something
okay.
like that.
Okay, gotcha.
And my guru is Meher Baba, who I started following in 1974. So that's been a pretty long time.
Oh, God. I'm so glad you shared that with me. I had that wrong.
Oh, that's okay. No problem.
Had that one wrong.
Yeah.
But what the takeaways here, what do you think, what can you share with my listeners, Stephen, that will, at least if they're sitting on that edge going, I'm kind of interested, I'm a little bit skeptical, I'm a little bit nervous because I may go to hell if I look outside of, you know, just a heaven or hell. What can you say to those people who may be suffering, looking for something, but afraid to go down this path?
Well, I would, but you know what, Baba Hari Das, the yogi that I encountered in 1974, he says, you have to know how your cloak is made in order to take it off.
Ooh, so I like that.
So I would deconstruct, it's frightening, but I would deconstruct the idea of eternal hell, which is fairly easy to do logically if you have the gumption. The universe, look at the origin and the people that wrote for the universalist branch of Christianity when it first started, there were some very astute people, and what they said is that it's not consistent. But I mean, if you think about it, a loving God could not possibly consign you to eternal torment for anything, because right. there's no tyrant on this earth that's ever done anything as horrific as that.
Well, I can name one.
No, there isn't, because
right. No, I know.
Because the worst they can do is torture you for a lifetime.
Exactly.
But here we're saying that God of love tortures people for eternity, and eternity is a very, very long time. And when you get to the end of that long time that you can imagine, there's still another one just like it, and another one. You know, it's impossible.
I believe that too.
It's impossible. Deconstruct it. Take the cloak off, and then you can see more clearly.
I really do like that, because I love what Mary had said to me. I just a very, very dear friend of mine. And she would say that we're his only project. He wants to see what we're doing with this. Isn't that great?
Well, not only that, but our real self is actually him.
Exactly. That's
he is. He is our deepest self. You know?
He is our deepest self. And so I love that, because
he knows us. He loves us and accepts us like nobody else can, because he understands us from the inside out. He is us.
He is us. And you know, when people say, and they'll say, you know, oh, well, I'm not supposed to worship like a false God. That means anybody who is deteriorating your well-being, your self-esteem, who you are, calling you bad, calling you horrible, calling you just names.
Well, it's that idea of original sin, see, is a huge mistake. It's right. our ego is the source of what you could call original sin. Everybody's got an ego, and the ego is the source of the problems, but that's not us. See?
That's not us.
So it's not original sin. The original person is the soul, and that's, you know, part of God, see? So the original person is beautiful.
And it goes, and for me, and what has given me such solitude is like you said, I feel like I have constructed the cloak, but I had to start all over. I had to kind of, I don't know how the cloak got on in the first place, but I had to somehow take one strand off a time. But now I'm starting to build my cloak, and I love it.
Yeah. It's a frightening, you talked about, you know, what can I say to people who are afraid of it? I mean, it is frightening. It takes courage.
It takes a lot of courage.
You're going to lose a lot of friends. You could even lose your job. You know, you're in a whole different world, but you'll find new friends.
You know what? And that's it. It's your tribe is your vibe.
Yeah, there you go.
And I love that. And then going back to the, you know, I really do like Wayne Dyer, and it was what I really, really liked what he had said. And this goes, and people say, oh, the law of attraction. Try it. Mm-hmm. Just try it. You know what? If you don't like something, change the way. How are you looking at things? If you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at will change.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that goes for reincarnation too. I didn't really know what it was. I feel like I got such a great education from this. And Stephen, is there anything you want to share with my audience? We've only got a couple minutes before I allow you to go and share this. I want to let you all know that Stephen's going to be back December 18th, right? Stephen, yep. I think it's December
Correct.
18th in 2 weeks, you guys, and we are going to be talking about his own personal experience and experiential research and meet who his reincarnation or he's his reincarnated self.
Well, I'm about proof. And, you know, I studied Dr. Ian Stevenson's work. I studied other people like Peter Ramster in Australia, a psychologist that used hypnosis, and other people who proved their cases. And when I stumbled upon what I thought was my past life, I said, I'm going to prove it to the same standard with the same methods. So, you know, I mean, this is my special thing, is to show people, how can you prove it? You know,
right. And that's what we're going to go on in 2 weeks. In fact, I want to introduce Stephen's 19th century self. Who is he, Stephen?
It's Matthew Franklin Whittier, the younger brother of the Quaker poet John Greenleaf Whittier.
Yes. And we will go in much more depth of how you found this out, how you've progressed from this, how he works with you. I am looking so forward to a couple of weeks and having you share your own personal story and research that you've done with this amazing, amazing man.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Really, it's what I'm about, you know.
Yes, I love it. And so please tell my audience, give them your email address, how they can get a hold of you, and one more time, your website. And you guys, if you want a free book, a complimentary book, Stephen is going to be giving one away. And Stephen, how do you want them? Do you want them to just go on your website? Do you want them to email you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you work that out, but you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to choose from a bunch of people, so I'd rather they contact you and you choose and then you let
Yay.
Me know. Yeah,
so yeah. You guys go on my website, go to my form that's contact and just say, I want one of his books. And which one are you giving away?
Well, the most recent one, which is Reincarnation Can Be Proven.
Yes. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. And then go ahead and tell us, how do we find you, Stephen?
Sure. The email address is ssake@goldthread.com, GOLDTHREAD. And the website is www.ial.goldthread.com.
Excellent. And then, and yes, it's IAL.goldthread.com. And thank you all for a wonderful, wonderful show. We went in many different directions. I just had an amazing time. Stephen, thank you for your genius. Thank you for sharing yourself with us today.
Well, again, thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, Redefining Death and Loss. Tune in every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and a willing